So I'm going to try to just quickly summarize and I think a little bit simplify what we discussed last time really quickly, which is that we discussed three possible approaches to the tour of the Achron, according to the Gibbon Misera, right? That in the case of Hikuze Achazed, the Achron is Pater because he darsh, because the Rabbanan, I'm sorry, not reading Misera, Rabbanan darshin, ishkiya kekol nevesh, kol nevesh, adika kol nevesh. So understanding this as a chisar, not in the chiyus hagavra of the gosses bei adam, but rather not to the, you know, not to the nature of the status of the victim, but rather to the nature of the maisa, what the achron has done to him. So he said there are three possible perspectives that we could take here. The first is that the p'tur is based on the view that the rishon's act is deemed to be what killed him. Right, the victim's death is attributable entirely to the hakas harishon. And what the achron did is he simply sped up the process. He simply fast forwarded it to the end. He made it so that what was on course to happen at 1 o'clock, the departure of a soul due to the initial hakah, happens instead at 12 noon. Right, so the drasha from the pasuk of Yakeh kol nefesh, Adika kol nefesh, what that does is it excludes any hakah that comes, this is how I would interpret it according to this, it excludes any hakah that comes subsequent to a hakah kol nefesh. In other words, if there's already a hakah kol nefesh, so then inasmuch as any subsequent hakah merely prepones, right, merely makes it earlier, the death that is already taking place, so he's putter, and the premise is that one who simply prepones or speeds up the process, the death that already is underway, he does not assume, perhaps he doesn't even share at all, in the authorship of that totsah, of that death. And that we'll discuss a little bit more today. But that's the first view. The second view, we get follow that? All right. The second approach is based on the view that what is responsible here for the departure of his chiyus, right, let's say the deficit, the difference between the chiyus that he had, b'shas hakas hasheni, and, you know, by the time he dies, what's responsible for that are both of them, both of their acts. Meaning both acts are responsible for extinguishing what life he had when he was a ghost of the Adam at the time of the hakas hasheni. He was in the process of dying, so we do view what's going on now as being a result of the initial act, but it's also now a result of the second, of the hakas ha'achron, and the Torah exempts such hakah inasmuch as that hakah cannot be considered hakah's kol nefesh. In other words, we have a tur shutzpas here, inasmuch as both of their acts are responsible for the deficit of the chiyus that he had when he was a goses, so neither of them is, or I should say, the hakah's ha'achron, or neither of that element of the hakah could be defined as hakah's kol nefesh, and therefore you're going to be the Torah's patering. The third approach is similar to the second in that hakah's kol nefesh is understood to be excluding in case of multiple hakas nefesh, but it differs from the second approach, the previous approach, with respect to how we view what each party here is doing, and therefore the nature of the multiple hakas exempted. According to the third approach, what happened here is that the Rishon's act turned the healthy person into a goses, and that's where it ends, because the Achron took over, the Achron's act turned the goses into a mace. Both of these acts are defined as, let's say, chiyus removing acts, as acts of netilas nefesh, of hakaos nefesh, and the pasuk is coming to exclude such a case, right? Each individual haka in this case is considered to be only a partial hakaos nefesh, inasmuch as both of them are hakaos nefesh, so neither of them can be defined as hakaos kol nefesh, and this is what is being excluded. Now, the difference of the second approach will become manifest when we consider the scope of this principle, in particular, whether or not this applies to hakaos harishon and the haka bevasach. So is that clear? The difference now between the first approach and the third approach?
Doing the first
version,
yeah, very
quick. Okay, sure, you got it.
Do you want to introduce the third approach quickly?
Yeah, no, we view each of them being responsible here for a mixus, for hakas nefesh, but what the Rishon is responsible for is bringing him from a status of bari, let's say, to goses, which we're defining as hakas nefesh. I might even say you've turned into somebody who's kemes linyan hakanal if she does her biyoa, right? And then we have the hakas mixas hanefesh of the Achron, who's responsible for taking him from goses to mace. So both of these are defined as hakas nefesh, and multiple makim nefesh, that's what the pasuk is coming to exempt.
Why? Because it's b'shutfus? Like, how's it different than the second approach?
Yes, because it's b'shutfus, and the idea, I think, is that given that there are two makim nefesh, neither of them can be defined as makim kol hanefesh, but just in terms of the scope, we'll see. Both of these cases are excluding partnership, but it's not clear that there's overlap in terms of the scope, what kinds of shutfim, what kinds of cases are being exempted. I mean, these are two different cases. The shutfus in this case is a little bit different than the shutfus in the other case. We'll discuss.
Which is what's the shutfus in the other case?
Which is the other case, the second or the third?
The second.
What the shutfus is both the acts are responsible for taking it from a goses to a mace.
Okay, and that's just split between two people.
Yeah. So for instance, Pasachas, you already have much more of a tighter precedent than what we'll get to. All right, so first, before we get there, I want to return to the first approach. Because both the second and third approaches deal with the p'tur based on the shutvas b'maisa, where you have multiple actions, multiple agents working towards a single end. And then the question becomes the nature of each's responsibility for that end result, individually and collectively. So on the whole, we've examined that issue in a broader context, in the context of Kol Torah Kulo, when we discussed Ashlam Shes Uab, the p'tur b'vasachas. Perhaps not so much the application to cases described by the third approach, where you have differing stages of a process, which each individual is responsible for, not b'vasachas, but by and large, we understand the notion of shutvas b'maisa, Kol Torah Kulo. Masha Enke in the first approach. Again, the basic idea of the first approach is that what the Achron did here was merely speed up the process that was already happening. It's already on course to happen. And the crucial premise here is that one who merely prepones the culmination of this process, one who speeds up, who brings forward, I should say, who makes earlier the death, isn't deemed to assume authorship of that death. So the question we ought to ask is, what's the status of this sort of thing, Bechol Torah Kulo? All right, we know of a general principle, Bechol Torah Kulo, that we discussed, from the Gemara Hamatznia, Misayeya and Bemamish. Right, in the context of Maisim, what this means is, at the very least, that when a person's act is neither necessary nor sufficient to achieve whatever end is being achieved in that shutvus, so he has no role, he's considered to be irrelevant in terms of authoring the result of that act. He has no responsibility for it. So the question we're asking is, what's the status of somebody who speeds up the resolution of a process? To what extent is he considered to have authored, or perhaps at least shared in the authorship, of that process? On the one hand, the totsah, in this case, was said to happen anyway, so he didn't make the difference in terms of the totsah coming about. On the other hand, he's not quite a messiah in the sense that he does make a difference. It would not have happened when it happened had he not been there. For that, he is necessary. So, in concrete terms, what would halacha be, let's say, for instance? If somebody added coal to a fire which was going to be cooked on Shabbos, but now reaches Michael Ben Josiah, let's say, in 20 minutes instead of 30, would such a person be chayav kimevashel? Are we understanding the question that we're asking? So here, two Gemaras need to be examined. The first is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah with respect to the din to Bishalak. The Gemara there is discussing different cases where you have some level of partnership that guy is involved. The question is his involvement such that it would aser the tavshil midin Bishalak? So the Gemara says,
where is this?
This is in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara quotes the following: Amar Yehuda Amar Shmua Hiniach Yisrael Basar Agabi Gechalim. So the Jew puts the meat upon the gechalim, with the coals that are burning. So this is a classic bishul. Uba avi kochavim v'hapach bo. So the avi kochavim is mehapach bo. So this I'm not 100% sure. I assume just grammatically that it's referring to the meat as opposed to the gechalim. But in theory, I don't know that there would be a difference. Meaning either whether or not he was being mehapach the meat or mehapach the gechalim, he's being mechatek bechalim. Either way, the Gemara says, in this case, is mutter. In this case, there's no problem with Bishal Akum. So the Gemara asks, what exactly are we discussing? If the case is such that it would have cooked either way, so then Pashut, there's no Isser here. Why? It's just Kain Misayaya. Ain't Bamamish, she hasn't done anything. Right? It's completely irrelevant. So it must be that talking about a case where if not for the fact that he had done that, it would not have been his bashal. But if that's the case, then the din doesn't make any sense. Am I mutter? So that's classic bishalak. So Gemara says, lo tzricha. No, this is the case. It was set to cook within 2 hours. Now, with the mice of the goy, it'll cook within an hour. So this he needed to tell me. Mahu detema krove bishula milsahi. I could have thought that being mekarev the bishul, that bringing it, let's say, bringing the transformation into Michael ben Josiah, making it earlier, that's an act of bishul milsahi, or it's a matter, literally. It's something which is davar sheish b'mamish, kamash malan that it's mutter. I should add, the Gemara initially seems to have understood the principle here being that inasmuch as it was already nispashel, Adya the Jew, so nothing further can be megareya. Meaning there's a partnership here, but it's coming after there's already been a sufficient bishul idei the Yehudi. So Gemara goes on to ask, the Gemara says, that doesn't make sense, because we have a klal that koshul meichel ben drasai yem bo mishim bishul eyo dekechav. Right? If tavshil has been nisbashil kemeichel ben drasai, so then there's no more bishul akum. Ha'enu kemeichel ben drasai yesh bo mishim bishul eyo dekechav. But until meichel ben drasai, and meichel ben drasai is machok zishon, but it's some partial cooking. Are you guys familiar with my, you guys do Shabbos at all?
Yeah.
It's either a third or a half of cooked. It's sufficient to make it edible if you're really in a pinch. For somebody like the Bendrisai, who was not a good person, but it's named after him. It's kind of strange, because he generally says, Megaglan Tzchusai De Zakai. Anyway, whatever. So it's partial cooking. It's as opposed to Bishul Kotzarcho. Bishul Kotzarcho is when it's fully cooked. Smachal has shown him whether or not you're chayiv until Bishul Kotzarcho, which is the Shittas Rambam. Either way, the halach is, until you get to Michael Bendrisai, Yeshua Mishim B'u Shilei V'di Chacham. So Gemara says, no, that's specifically a case where there was an interruption. There was a bitul ha-maisa rishon where you took it off, you placed it in a basket. There, if the non-Jew then cooks it, that would be a bishul akum, even though it's been partially cooked by a Jew. But what the akum did there is significant as it is an act of bishul. After all, it was not on the fire. He put it onto the fire, and that act made it nisbashal. So that's bishul. But if it was already on the fire and all he did was simply mehapich, that's merely krovei bishul, and apparently lav milsa. All right, so if we had this din alone, right? If we had just this statement that the Maisa Hagoy was Mahapich, it doesn't answer. So you could have concluded, you might have understood, what's the Kamash Malan? That Krovi Bishol is nothing, it's Misayeya Shem Bamamish, it's Lav Milsi. However, the Gemara then says, Ibailu, Hinea Chovid Chavim, the Hapach Yisrael. Mal, what if you have the Jew does this act of Hipuch? So the Gemara responds, "Amar Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kavachomer Gamar Biyad of Chavim Mutter Gamar Biyad Yisrael Al Kosher Kain." So the end that we conclude, "Amar Lo Amar Ravacha Bar Vachana Amar Yochanan Bein Chinyach of Chavim Havek Yisrael Bein Chinyach Yisrael Havek of Chavim Mutter Ve'en Wazar Ach Tehei Tchilas of Gamar Biyad of Chavim." In other words, the Gemara says that the Jews' hipuch, that's matir the tafshil as well. So now there are two directions that one can go in terms of explaining these two dinim. The first assumes that there's one consistent classification of Kiruv Bishul here. The assumption of the Gemara is that Mikari Bishul is not Misayeya, but he's also not the Mevashel. Mikari Bishul is considered share in responsibility for the Totsaz of Bishul. So it's not Misayeya, but you also don't usurp or trump the original act of Bishul, doesn't overshadow the initial Mevashel. It's considered to be a Shutaf Bishul. And the halacha is that linyan bishul akum, so you need the Bishul to be Kulo Biyad of the Akum, and therefore, in either case, it's Mutter. This is the explanation given in the Shittas Kamonim there in Avodah Zarah. I think it was one of the Bali Tosas there. And he doesn't say so many words, but this is essentially what he's saying. Mikol makom krovi bishula di Yisrael chashav l'inyan delo havu bishul goyim. And what I think he means by that is, it's not considered to be completely ayde goyim. So it's a partnership, in other words. Kiruv bishul, you partake, you share in responsibility. The assumption is that will be matir in both cases. Alternatively, and this is the other view you find in Rishonim, that there isn't necessarily any consistent view of Kiruv Bishul reflected here. Rather, what we're saying is, since this is only a Din D'Rabbanan, we can be Holech L'Kula, we can be Mekel both ways. In other words, we consider it to be Misayeya when that's L'Kula, when the Goy is Mekari of the Bishul, and we consider it to be an act of Bishul, L'Kula, when the Jew is doing the Hipuch. Right, when the Jew is Mekari, so since it's a Din D'Rabbanan, we can be Mekel, we go L'Kula there. When the non-Jew is Mekari, so then we go L'Kula there to assume that it isn't Bishul. So that leaves open the question, what would the Din be regarding a case of Kiruv Bishul Min D'Raisa? So it's possible that what we're saying is Kiruv Davar is Ke'osah HaDavar, perhaps even the only Osah HaDavar, he takes it over. It's just that we're Mekel in the case of Akum She'Kirev Bishulo, because it's a Kula D'Rabbanan, we'll just consider, lenient this, we'll consider it to be non-Bishul. Or it's possible that really it's Kimisei Shein B'Mamish, and we're just Mekel in the case of a Jew who is Mekari, because Min D'Rabbanan, after all, we can be Mekel. And we'll consider it as if he was Mevashel. As an aside, I should mention that that's certainly viable, the idea that even though it's not really doing much, but we can be Mekel, to consider it as if it were doing something, lenient Bishul Akum, it's certainly viable given the Pesach of Tosos and Minhag Ashkenaz, regarding Hashlachas Kesem. It's a Machlokas Mechaber Ramat. About whether or not if you simply throw in a toothpick, which really doesn't contribute much, so is that something which will be Matir, the subsequent Bishul? This is very significant, obviously, in terms of Halacha Maisa. You have a restaurant with Emeril as the chef, so the way you make sure there's no problem, you simply throw in a toothpick in the beginning of the morning, you're done. According to some Rishonim, that's not right. But the Chachmei Ashkenaz, that was the widespread Minhag. The Tosfos themselves think it isn't so obvious from the Gemara here, from this Gemara, al ma'asomchim, because the Gemara seems to imply that it's only Kiruv Bishul, it's only if you actually do something significant, at least you're Mekari of the Bishul. But if it were just, you just did something, it doesn't say explicitly, it only says in the opposite case, but it's a clear implication, if you just did something which was completely irrelevant, didn't help, but it's just Misayeh Ba'ama, that would not be Matirin. So he says, "Mikula shemaisin mashma de beinon shehe yisrael mekariv a bishul ksas mashenagul lahashlich kesel netanur zomchin amash yesh bedvarim shebein bnei bavel levnei eretz yisrael the kamer bnei bavel mashlich and kesem netanur bnei marav amrim kesem ze mamale mamorid anu nimshachin achar bnei bavel v'tamudim." So I'm not exactly sure if he intends to be squaring this gemara. He was just saying that this gemara, what the implication it seems to be from the gemara, la dafka. Not sure. Other rishonim here posit that it is a kira bishul somewhat the kesem. But either way, what seems to emerge is, even an act which really isn't bishul, you could say even partially, but will be mekel in this case because it's only derban. Okay. So that leaves us, as I said, with somewhat unclear about what the din is on the deraisa level. So here we come to a second gemara. The gemara in Shavuos and Dav Yud Zayin Amud Beis, where the gemara is discussing the din, the iser of a zar to be oved. So in the course of the discussion there, the gemara discusses zar she hafach pitzinora. Sinor was this kli that was used to be mechate, the gechalim, or the basar, that was on the mizbeach, that was being consumed, the haftaras ha'ivarim muptarim. So the Gemara quotes Rav Huna as saying, zar shehafach b'tzinora chay misa. So the Gemara says, gufa, amar Rav Huna, zar shehafach b'tzinora chay misa. What are we talking? Hechidam. Right, so again, he just simply, right, the basar is already being consumed, and he is mahapich. So what's going on? Il d'lo hafach lo mechachli pshita. So obviously, if it wasn't being burnt, it wasn't being huktar, and he fixes it up, so then obviously he's going to be chayv misa. Why would you need Rav Huna to be telling us this? V'il d'lo hafach bo nami mechachli my covid. And if it's the case that it was anyway on going to be consumed, so then what exactly did he do here? Why would he be chayv? He's a misayeh, the Alma, although I don't see Rishon saying it, but that's what, essentially what we're saying. So the Gemara responds, well, you guys can predict probably what the Gemara is going to respond. Lo tzuchid ilo hafach bahu me'achle b'tar tishoy v'hashta me'achle b'chad shata. V'hakamash malan, d'chol krovei avodah avodahi. Alright, so the Gemara says that what happened was it was going to be hukdar within 2 hours, and instead it was hukdar within an hour. So doing that, which the Gemara calls, again, Mekariv Avoda, Krovei Avoda, that's considered to be Avoda, and that, therefore, you're over. Now, in terms of what it means for us, on the one hand, you might say, well, that settles it. Right? We now see that being Mekariv Davar is viewed as, at the very least, being at least partial responsibility, Osa Davar, at least in addition to the original Maniach, or perhaps even overpowering. But either way, he's considered to be Osa Davar. Right? He's a Mevashel. In this case, he is a Makdir. On the other hand, it's possible to argue against that conclusion. You might say, no, Zar Bavoda is different. The way I would say it is that the Isser for the Zar here is not to be Maktir. It's not to be Sorif the Basar. It's to be Oved. It's to be engaged in Avoda. And you might say that speeding up the process of Akhtara is in and of itself defined as an Avoda, whether or not we define it as being Maktir. Now, even if we don't define speeding up the process of being Mahapech as an act of Akhtara, because it just is speeding up what's happening anyway, but nonetheless, that itself is an avoda. Velraya, and the Ugly Top points this out. I don't have it on me. Velraya.
We wouldn't say that if...
You have?
What? We wouldn't say that if he wasn't causing it to be burnt. When the Gemara says that's pshita, he would...
What's he doing? No, because it's Misayi Baalma. I mean, that's you see it in the Gemara.
I'm saying if that was the logic, I wouldn't apply it to...
Because you're contributing something, but you're not doing anything otherwise. If you're just playing around, then what have you done at all? But that's not, because you have to be engaged in an avoda. So speeding up the process is an avoda, but just playing around with the coals is not an avoda. That's the idea. Meaning the purpose of the and this is the point of the Igle Tal. Sure, can you get the Igle Tal?
Yeah, something I can search.
Sinora. But the Igle Tal points out that after all, you have a Kli Sharis, which is designated for this purpose. So he's going to put the river. Okay, leave it out for now. he points out that the very existence of a Kli Sharis, which is designated for this purpose, proves that this is an avoda. He quotes the river in a second. In which case, it's at least possible you might say that for general deraisa purposes. Kirav Davar is not Keosah HaDavar. Kirav Bishol is not Kimivashel. Elamai, in this context, the Kirav itself is an Avoda. Now, Elamai said this appears to be, and this is what he...
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, in other words, the Kirav HaEqual is not Kimivashel. It's not... At the end, yeah. But it is, you might argue, it is an Avoda. It is being Oved. In other words, you're not Chayvir Mishum that you're makdir. You're chayv mishum kiruv haktara. Kiruv haktara, kiruv ha srefa is itself an avoda. So you don't need it to have a status as being, you know, as if I put it on the mizbeach itself. That's his problem. That's why that's where he's coming from. But he's going to retreat from that. Therefore, you're chayiv in that context. But it isn't that, you know, that you're makdir. This is not saying that kiruv habishal, let's say, would be mivashal. But rather, it's a unique point about avoda, that being makariv adavar is itself an avoda. Not that it is the davar, but it is an avoda. Okay, do you follow that?
Yeah.
What? Let me get to the Ritva, and then we'll turn back to Shua. Shua, do you see where he says it? So the Ritva seems to be misupag on this point, right? The Ritva appears to he raises the question. It sounds like he's raising the question of whether or not what do we in fact say about kiruv in general, and he raises the question specifically about Shabbos.
Is it in Zoraya? Am I looking at there? I mean, Zohar comes up a couple of times.
I think it is in Zoraya. He says this is the Ritva. So
is he
says the kash. Yeah. Beika de kashle hadar min mesachas avar zar in yich israel basar gabe gechalim baga vehavach ba mudur vekimna ki gon mekara vechul vechul eh? Kamashon de krovi bishul la bishulu. So that seems to contradict the Gemara here, which says krovi avodah. Velal kasha da filu havi ha vecha de oraisa efshar shechmira Torah b'avodah. So that line is pretty clear. The Ritva is going in this latter direction. Namely, this is a chiddush b'avodah. The way I'm explaining it is, the chiddush b'avodah is that the avodah is la dafka to be to get to the result. It's even parts of the process, even speeding it up. That also was an avodah. But then he says, "V'koshekin dehacha arminah nadina deraisa utkavasi nami le'inim nevashal b'shabes efshar dehavichaya." Aval hasam b'vushuli gole. Even if you were to say that let's say you would be chaya, perhaps you could still say you'd be mekel in the context of bishul goyim bishul akum because it's only derba. So it seems pretty clear he's not sure, and that seems to be the subject. What do we say in general? Is mikarev, let's say bishul kibishul, and that's consistent with what we find in the sugya shuvos, or is the sugya shuvos really a chiddush? You wouldn't be chayav bishul, right? So those seem to be two days in the river. So
would that be saying that
either? Yeah.
So would that be saying that even though it's not bishul midaraisa, it's still avoda midaraisa?
That's how I'm explaining is chumrah be'avoda.
Right.
That it, even though it's not, you're not actually considered to be.
You didn't do something that was mispatent.
You weren't mevashel. Well, the concept is you weren't mapped. Right, but you were still, if you want to call it krovi haktara, is itself part of the avoda haktara. Right. Yeah.
But then in the second day, you're saying, since he says.
Or.
It's a kula by bishul akum.
Yeah. So it's not a chumrah be'avoda, but in fact, you would say perhaps midaraisa kiruv adavar is. And therefore, you could say even Shabbos b'chayiv. Still no problem with the Gemara in Vadazar. So he has those two deos. Why it's not a problem with Gemara Shuas? Even if it were Deraisa, it wouldn't be a problem. Because you could argue this view, that it's a unique Kiddush with regard to Avoda. Or, even if you were to say it's a Dim Bechol Darku, let's say it's Kiruv is Kidose, my Lashon, right? Even if that were the case, you would still have no problem with that Gemara, because that's talking about it. And the Rabbanu were very makel on that question.
Yeah. Should I just read from the Ritva?
Yeah. That's a separate question. Magis, what is it? There's good answers to that question, but the Achronim were bothered by it a little bit.
Because
So it's not that it's kimakdir, but it's itself a nevodah. After all, it has a klisharis. Okay. So coming back to our context, so I think this question, this issue really bears very significantly upon our patur here. Again, this is within the assumption that the patur is based on the notion that he's merely proponing, he's building, speeding up the process of the death of Machmas HaRishon. So if in general we say that Kiruv HaDavar is Lav Keosa HaDavar, right, it's Kimisaye Ba'ama, right, and let's say Avoda is really just it's a Chiddush Be'Avoda, Be'Avtara. So we understand very well why the Achron here is Patur, based on this principle. But the question then becomes, well, why do we need the Pasuk? And in fact, you might even say, Rabbi Yehuda, when he's mechayiv the achron, what's the lashon that he says? Why is he mechayiv? What? Mibnei what? Mibnei shir mikariv misasa. So you might argue very well that the Lashon here is Meduyuk, that he's saying you sped up the process here of the death, and that is Mechayev, but remember that Yehuda Mesera also was Medayik from the Pasuk. So you could say precisely that's the point. He was Medayik from the Pasuk. The Chiddush in the Pasuk is that you're Chayev. You're Chayev or Kirav Miso. Why do I need to be Medayik? Because Kirav Davar in general is not Kilos Davar. So again, the question becomes, why would the Rabbanon need the Pasuk? Obviously, the answer must be that you might have thought that the Sheni would be Chayev, even though Mekari Davar in general is not considered to either be fully or even share in the responsibility for the Totsah, for that Davar. And I think you can give two explanations why you might have thought that. The first, meaning why would I have thought, even if, let's say, Mekarev Bishol is not Kim Mevashol, it's Kim Misayev Alma, I still needed a Pasuk to tell me that the Achron here is going to be Pater. The first thing you could say is maybe because you would have said, you know what, this isn't merely Kirav Misa. This is doing an independent Maisa HaMemis. You're doing an independent act of Ratzicha here. In other words, you could have argued that the Hibuch B'Gechalim, the act of Hibuchim, simply doesn't involve the crucial feature of Maisa Bishol, which is exposing food to the flame. Bringing the flame to the food or the food to the flame. Here, in the case of the Bishol, the Hibuch B'Gechalim or the B'Basar, it was already on the flame. It was already exposed to that flame. It was exposed to Shas Maisa Hanacha, and it was going to be reaching it. So you haven't actually done any act of Bishol, because by definition, what is Bishol? Introducing the food and the flame, bringing them together. So Akochenu, this isn't an act of Bishol itself, but merely an adjustment of the previous act, or more precisely, an adjustment of the pace, of the impact of the previous act of Hanachas Habasa Agabe Gechalim. Masha Enkein here. The Ka of the Achron here has all the features of a Maisa HaMemis, of a Maisa Ritzicha, Bifnei Atzmo. He does a Hakah, she Yesh Bo Kedei LaHamis. Now, even if that's true, that it was Yesh Bo Kedei LaHamis only because of the weak, we can say, given the initial Makeh, the point is that, given the weak can say, what he does here is a Maisa HaMemis. So it's not working in tandem or working based on the act in the same way that Hipuch B'Tzinura. So you could have thought that this isn't a case of Kirav Misa, but simply of being Maimis by oneself. You're not augmenting or quickening the mechanism that was set up in place by the Rishon. You're simply doing something else. You're introducing a new Maisa HaMemis. So that's one reason you could have said, you need the Pasuk. Pasuk Kamash Malan, this is also Kirav Misa. Yeah?
Just based on the reasoning, Rabbi Yehuda would argue on that, because he needs the Pasuk to say Chayev Mashmah.
Yeah, I think Rabbi Yehuda, according to the way I just presented, I think Rabbi Yehuda would argue on whatever we're about to say now.
So
yeah.
He'd be arguing two things. One is about what this case is. Number two is how you read the Pasuk.
Well, that's meaning it's this is what partially what bothered some Rishonim was they both seem to require a diuk. So there's not only machlokes what the din is, but also machlokes what would have been without a Pasuk.
Right. So it's two.
That's what it seems to be. So the first answer is it wasn't Mekari of Misa. That's why. But the second alternative reason you could argue that you need a pasuk to pater here is because maybe you would say, no, it is Kirav Misa. But maybe Kirav Misa is different. Maybe Kirav Misa will be chayav. Why? Because there's a very, very big difference between having something, some process like Bishol occur 10 minutes earlier and having somebody die 10 minutes earlier. What's the difference? What he had that is now lost is chayisha. Given that the significance of chayisha, after all, we know, Gemara in Yoma, we would be Mechal Shabbos for that Chayisha. He was dying anyway. That's true. But you're bringing that death earlier is stripping him of Chayisha. Something that we would Mechal Shabbos for. Now, the fact that we Mechal Shabbos, we've seen, doesn't necessarily mean that it's also something that you would be Chayav for taking away from him, Midin Ritzicha. But nonetheless, it puts us in a completely different sort of perspective for Bishol. What would you say? That you're taking away the last, you've shortened now the natural non-cooked state? Big deal. So what's the difference if it's cooked earlier? You're just merely proponing in that case, and really it's not so significant. But in this case, where proponing is itself, here of itself, is not an insignificant point. There is a major difference between Misa 10 minutes from now, Misa now. It's the difference for which would be Michal Shabbos. Chayisha. So I think the significance of Chayisha creates an enormous potential for there to be a discrepancy with regard to the din of Kiruv. Right, you follow that?
If not for the Pasuk, we would have thought to be Mechayev him because he took away the
Chayisha. Right.
We would have thought to be Mechayev Misa for...
Even, meaning even Kirav Adavar is still going to be something which you're responsible for taking away the Chayisha. In general, Kirav Adavar is Kemisayeya Ba'ama. Because in those contexts, what's the difference if it's now or then? It's true, without you, it wouldn't have happened 10 minutes earlier. But who cares if the Bishul happened 10 minutes earlier? But now, then I should point out, that not going to be between these two reasons why you would have thought, why you needed the Pasuk, is what happened if we didn't, if we weren't to darshan the pasuk this way. Let's say the rabbanan didn't have this drasha. What would have been the din of somebody? Let's say he's in a cauldron, right? You have some poor soul, and he's being boiled to death in a cauldron, and somebody comes along and adds gachelas to the cauldron. So that now, instead of his being dead in 2 hours, he's dead in 1 hour. This is the similar to sort of the Maisa, or was it Rechanan bin Tirajan, the guard who removed the wool, right? So what would be the halacha in such a case if I didn't have this pasuk? So if you take the first perspective, then you would have said that case is pater anyway. The whole chiddush, the whole reason you needed the pasuk was because of the case where you did a Maisa HaMemisa, Maisa HaKa, so I could have thought that was different. It's not just being Mekariv. But the case which we're just describing now, that is Mekariv. That's exactly the normal case, which according to this view, is in general considered to be Kimisaya Ba'ama. So what I've done here is Kiruv Bishalav, the person. Right? So there's no question in that case, you would not have needed a Pasuk for that, according to this. You guys follow this? Well, whereas according to the second view...
Because he's not doing it by some means.
Right.
Right.
Whereas according to the second view...
Chayisha.
You would have said, no, this case too. For sure you should be chayav, and you need a pasuk for it. And there could be nafkamina. What would it then be according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser? Unless you say that he thinks the pasuk comes to be mechadish this case too. In other words, if you're not darshaning the pasuk to mean this, so on this view you could ask, well, what's the din regarding such a case? So if the reason that kiruv misa would have been different is because, and according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser, in fact, is different, let's say, is because you're stripping of chayisha, so this case of adding a chalas, you'll be chayiv. You would have been chayiv if we hadn't darshan the pasuk, and if we don't darshan the pasuk, you are chayiv. Okay.
Now I'm going to ask a quick question. So
does everybody follow this point?
Yeah.
Okay.
But for the second approach, wouldn't we have to say that should also be the marker for why, just in general, killing a ghost or a trefa is not like killing a regular person?
Why?
Because otherwise I would have thought for the chayisha aspect.
He said he's a conference.
But according to this, No.
I mean, this is Gosu
de Shemaim is... Remember, Gosu de Shemaim is chayav misa. You could have... Right, so what? Right, so the basis of the tour here is because you're really... Because it's the Rishon who was doing it, not you. You're just speeding up the process. You're just making things happen quicker. But the point is, you still could have thought to be Mechayev according to one view. You would have, my point is, if you understood, let's say you take the side of the Ritva that in general, Kiruv Davar is Keoseh. So then, right? I'm sorry, it's Lav Keoseh. And let's say you're Pater for Bishul B'Shabbos for this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So why would you need the Pasuk? So this view is saying, because you could have thought that Kiruv Misa is different, since there's infinite value to each of those seconds. So you're taking them away, would be considered not just something which is a Misayaya, but you're making a incalculable difference, lira in this case, right? You'd be chayav misa for that. That's one view. The other is the explanation is this case, you would have thought it's not really kir misa, it's actually just being mamis. It's not working in tandem to the previous act. Right?
So in that case, Rabbi Yehuda would say, what's it called, based on the first approach?
It's in theory possible
that
he would say that in the case of the person who's most hit the cauldron, mm-hmm. That he is pater.
Mm-hmm. Right, based on the first approach.
Right. If on the other hand we assume, let's say, like the other side of the Ritva, that Kiruv Davar is generally Ki'osa Davar, so then we understand, well, you need the Pasuk, and then the Pasuk is being Mechadish, that when it comes to being Chayav Misa, Kiruv Ratzeach, so Kiruv is not enough. Right? It's not enough to speed up a process. You actually have to have introduce the framework to done the whole thing on your own to be chayav for ratzicha. You need an independent maisa hamemis. You need the features of a. You need to have a hakash yesh bagadei lahamis. And what you could understand that as being part of the more general point of kasher asa ken yaseh bo, right? The idea of the reversibility of it, so that if you're going to be killing you, so we're going to be have to doing something. You'd have to do something which is in a way the equivalent of that. So kiruv adavar falls short of that. But either way, that would be the chiddush according to the Rabbanan, and that's how we understand the patur here. Now, that's in terms of just fleshing out a little bit this notion of the Rabbanan, of Kiruv Davar, and putting it in context of Kotor Kul. So now, again, return to the three different approaches. Let's see, just in terms of the scope, how this impacts things. So first, regarding the Risha. Right? What is the status with respect to the Rishon? So really two issues here, I think, hinge on these different approaches. First of all, to what extent is there a basis to be Mechayiv, the Rishon here? The Mishum HaKasa Rishon. And second, given, assuming that there is some basis to be Mechayiv here, so is Kol Nefesh, is Adiko Kol Nefesh a relevant basis to Patrim? Could that Patrim?
Give you a clear eye on that. You can't be
fine. Yeah. Well, you have to give me some time to see how that fits in. So according to the first approach, right, that the basis of the tour of the Achron is that because he was merely Mekarev the Misa Aidei Rishon, so first of all, and I think most significant, clearly, given our reading of what happened here, the way we view it, there's certainly a basis of Mechayiv, the Rishon. In fact, the tour Rishon is extremely surprising. Right? And in fact, you find Rishonim are very bothered by, the Tosfos and Rashi are very bothered by the tour Rishon. And at first glance, at least when I saw this, at first glance, it's a little puzzling. Lechora, there's a very simple reason why he's putter. He didn't die. The chiyus of the victim didn't depart mishum machmas hakas arishon, but rather because of the hakas achron. The achron killed him. Right? The guy decapitated. He was decapitated now. He pierced his heart. So why would you think he should be chayev?
But we still attribute the death to the rishon.
No. So I'm saying at first glance is what you would think. Mm-hmm. Right? That... Right, if you take a look at Tosos here, I mean, they say, why is it such a tema? Why should he be putter? Why should the Rishon be putter here? Just because somebody else came along and killed him? Mm-hmm. So I think you could explain what was behind the question here. Why shouldn't he be chayav? Based on the assumption that, in fact, he didn't die in the end. The soul didn't depart. Machmas the Yakar Rishonah. But the simplest thing to say, and I'll show you, it's clearly assumed that in some Rishonim, is that we do assume that the Rishon killed him. He died machmas. What do you mean? He was decapitated? Yeah, so he's just preponing the Misa, the second guy, just making things, he's speeding things up. But what happened here was simply death at the hands of the Rishon.
So put it down. You're saying that's why the question does make sense?
Yeah. Right. In fact, it's a tamua. Why would you say that Tema, right? Tells us the question. Because of the other Tema, Oso Shasa Gosis, and my putter. Harav Gosis is the Misa. Most of them go to die. So what? He didn't die in the end from the first Akka. The guy got lucky and somebody else came along. So the answer is no, according to this. He did die Machmas Rishon. So that's in terms of the right question. Now, moreover, as far as the answer is concerned, clearly, based on this perspective, it cannot be that the Patur, he's Patur for the same reason as the Rishon. In other words, it can't be that the principle derived from the Pasuk of Akas Kol Nefesh is going to Patur the Rishon here. Because according to this, the Pasuk is exempting somebody who simply propones Misa, somebody who is Makis subsequent to a Hakas Kol Nefesh. So, in that case, he's going to Patur because he's merely Mekari of Hamisa, but he's not actually Mamis. That clearly does not apply to the Rishon. So clearly, you're not going to be able to answer what the Rashba answers, what the Rambam answers, what the Talmud Ben Tam answers. Why is Rishon Patur? Adika Kol Nefesh. What would it make sense here? In which case, what would you then say? Right? According to the first perspective, you have a real question. Why are you Patur? Why is the Rishon Patur, in other words? So here, I think you'll have to go with the Rishonim. Basically, this is what they say. That the reason you're Patur in this case is because of the Suffolk, because of the Miur HaChayim. That's the significant factor. And why is that significant? In what way is that significant? Because what we'll say is, if in fact he was a Miyad Achayim, so then it wasn't the Rishon who killed him. If he was destined to recover, so then the Shani's not really fast-forwarding. He's actually killing him. It's his Maisa, which is Mamis him. You're creating a new reality. Now, the Tosos don't mention the Miyad Achayim in their answer to this question. Doesn't mean that they didn't think it was significant, but they don't mention it. But some Rishonim do. First of all, the Rashba. The Rush in the Tosos here explains, so why in fact is the Rishon Patur? Well, how could the Rishon be Patur here? So his answer is V'yishlomar kevin shehikila alav Torah shechoshin oso k'darmin b'samach. So the halacha is, as I think I mentioned this before, that it's Kol Zman is a gose, so we imprison him and we wait to see what happens in Yaakov v'yisalecha meshanto v'nika ha-maket, and if he dies chay. So then he says, "V'avu b'shem under the misa in organoso calls matchu chai v'zinin nami she'om dinoso the misa who chai avagav the ruba maisi hilcha checha shabach echa behargo pater dilmal lo mayis the dilmal lo mayis." So I think he clearly is honing in on the fact that there's a suffix here, the miura chai, but one could claim that it actually is not really relevant for us. What for him? What's important about it is not that. That maybe if he's Mimir HaChaim, what that means is he didn't die Machmas HaRishon. No, either way he didn't die Machmas HaRishon. But the question is, would he have died Machmas HaRishon? And for some reason, which is a separate sugya we'll come back to, if we knew, according to this, if we knew that he was going to die Machmas HaRishon, even though in fact he did not die Machmas HaRishon, he died because of the Hakasa Achron, but if we knew he was going to die, so then there would be basis to be Mechayev the Rishon anyway. So you can interpret the Rashba, but the version you can interpret like that, quite explicitly, is the Rashba. The Rashba in Bava Kamma, right, when he's bothered by this, by the Ptur Rishon, so he explains, he gives two deos, and I think they're very, very different. He says, V'yesh Lomar.
Right.
This is a Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph in Bava Kamma. V'yesh Lomar, Deshani Hasam, meaning why is it that Beku of a Sabrina Adam, Bemezim, Nimam, Omrim, Sharisham Pater, V'yesh Lomar, Deshani Hasam, Dekevan, Sheiku, Acher, Bemez, E. F. Charles, Barer, Shemes, Machmas HaRishon. So from a certain perspective, you say, well, what does that mean? What do you mean, E. F. Charles, Barer? The guy was killed by the second guy, of course he wouldn't die, Machmas HaRishon. So I think what's clearly going on here is, meaning because of the miyud achai, so if it's true that it was miyud achai, so then what happened here was not simply speeding up the process that started by the rishon really is the bayim up. Then it's the achron was killing him. That's why you're putter. Because iyashar she is barer, then in fact what happened here was simply speeding up the process that of the rishon's killing him. So it's clear the Rashba is viewing it in this way, right? That it's, but the chiddush being that it's dafka berov ha-shemesim, but if he was mirov ha-mesim, if he was destined to die from the initial hakas, then all the sheni here did was speed up the process. And there's no basis to pop to the rishon. The only reason we pop to the rishon is because maybe he wasn't destined to die. In which case, the sheni isn't simply speeding it up. He's doing something else, and that's beyond the purview of what we can mechayev the rishon for. Now, just as an aside, what happened to the holchim in nefashos acharov? So that's a whole discussion. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but whether what the scope of this din of holchim nefashos b'din nefashos acharov, whether or not we say that it's only specifically background sort of background details akin to the Rambam Shita regarding yisur be'erach and yuchsak, that you can have malchus given the testimony of an erachad if the detail, if it's about some surrounding detail but not the ma'isa itself. So the Ksos and the Sheir Shemaisa has a whole Shemaisa dedicated to this topic, and he's going with that theory. Alternatively, and I think this makes sense in Rosh Hashanah here, you can argue that the Chiddush HaTorah here, that's what they're learning from the fact that Chof Shinoh so, is that here, the Torah, in this case, where the person is destined to die, the fact that Chof Shinoh so proves that we actually are Chosheish L'miyud. We don't kill the guy immediately. Right. We're Chosheish L'miyud, we want to see if he lives. Now, again, the Tosos say that, but they don't say that the reason we're Chosheish... Yeah, no, you do say that, actually. It says... the kevan shekil torah shechov shenos so k'demini besamach v'alav bisham du lemisa ein horgin kol zman shuchai v'zimnin nami de'omdin lemisa v'chad afagav deruva v'aisi tocha kevan debacher v'horgo pater. So one could argue that what we see from this, from the fact that the Torah is waiting, why don't we just kill him initially? So we're choshesh lemiyad achayim. So that's what you see here. It's a special chiddush Torah. So that's if you take the first view. Right? If you take one of the other two views, however, so then the story's a little bit different. But it matters here, I think, which one you take. I guess we'll finish with the Din HaRishon. I don't know if we how much time we have. But the if you take, let's say, the third view, right, that each of them was maket mixas a nefesh here. That by turning him into gozes, so that's hakas nefesh, and turning him into from gozes to mes, that's also hakas nefesh. Two mak nefesh, you have to pater. So then clearly, I think, what you're going to say is that the Rishon has to be pater. There's no question in that case that the same basis to pater the sheni is patering the achron is patering the rishon,
right?
And this could be understood as what the Rashi was saying. Inami, this is the second answer. Beinan kol nefesh adam shetehe kol nefesh miad ish echad lo miad shnayim. That's why, right?
Why can't you say that for the second approach?
So the second approach you could say that, but I think whereas I think of the third approach you're necessitates that you're. It's akorchenu muchrach to say that you're going to pater the rishon machmas hakas kol nefesh. The second approach, I think, actually allows the possibility that you'll say otherwise. Why? Because what is the second approach saying that the shutfus, there's a shutfus in the departure of the chiyus that exists at b'shas hakas ha'achron. Both of them are responsible for that, right? So fine. So you're going to be pater for that. But if you acknowledge that with the then this is not necessary that you have to acknowledge, but you could say, well, we also agree, right, that we who hold the second approach also agree that with the that turning him into a ghost is itself a hakas nefesh. That is also a chiyus removing act, right? But when it comes to that chiyus removing act, you're alone. The Rishon's alone. So you might say, you might very well say, that the Rishon should be chayiv. Why? And this gets to the, again, I'll just summarize at the end, I guess when we come after Pesach, the Hakaz Rishon, just to fill out the what we're not addressing. But this would be another way to view, to understand why you would be mechayiv the Rishon. Even though he didn't die in Yen Machmas, his act, but his act made him a goses. And that for that, you could be chayiv too as an act of Misa. Right? That's, I think, what you sort of... Tosos here, I think, is a little difficult. I have to work on it a little bit. But to me, that's what Tosos is responding to at this point, at the end. It says, you shouldn't also be so surprised that we consider him mechai, tepatu the horgo, tepatu the one who makes him a goses, since after all, ashkachin goses de shemayim, de nechshav kechai lechayiv is horgo, afagav the rov goses in the misa, hachach ein lo tomoa be goses de adam im nechshavnu kechai, leftor misha sal goses. So now it sounds like the original havmina was, we should be mechai of the goses, the misha, the rishon, for making him a goses, because the making a goses itself a status of a kind of a quasi-mes. And that's what he's saying. Oh, don't. You know, we can be me. You know, what we see from Goses Dishamayim is that it's lav dafka really kemei. So, therefore, it shouldn't be so surprising. But that seems to be a different kind of havmina than the initial one they were addressing. So I'm going to come back to that later, a different topic. But the point is that according to the second view, the basis for the tour of the sheni, we could say maybe you should be chayev. The rishon should be chayev, right?
Right.
And then akorchenu, if we're going to answer, we might have to come to something like Tosa says at the end, namely. Well, maybe he's just not enough kemes to be mechayev for Ritzicha. After all, it's not so different than Goseh D'Shamayim, and Goseh D'Shamayim, so that's a questionable leap, but either way, the point is that you wouldn't just be able to answer Hakas Kol Nefesh, because that tells you that it's true, it exempts him, but only exempts him for the part where there's Shutfus, namely the Mixas HaAchron Shel HaNefesh. But the Mixas HaRishon, if we assume that this was a Chiyus erasing act, so we could have been mechayev for that. We'll have to answer that it isn't so. We can't answer that it's Mishum Hakas Kol Nefesh. So there's a nafkamina between the second and third approach. Mm-hmm. Is that this leaves open the possibility of being Mechayev the Rishon. We don't have a principle that says that if we assume that, in fact, this is taking away his Chiyus, removing his Chiyus, so on with respect to that element of the Chiyus, he's completely alone. So he could have been Mechayev him.
Right,
if we say that, what does it mean, Abdi Kol Nefesh? It means when you have two that are responsible for the same loss of Chiyus, can't be Mechayev either. But on this Chiyus, on the initial Chiyus, the difference between a Bari and a Goses, only he's responsible for it. So in fact, you have to argue that that's in fact something we're not Mechayev for. You couldn't argue, true, but he's Pater because Hakaz Kol Nefesh, Abdi Kol Nefesh. It's not
Shai. So we're basically saying that while it is a Hakaz Kol Nefesh, making someone into a Goses isn't enough to be Mechayev.
I mean, I wouldn't put it that way. I would say more, it wouldn't be putter only because it wouldn't be putter based on Hakas Kol Nefesh. You have to say it's just not an act of Chiyus erasing, at least not on the level that could ever be Mechayev for Ritzicha.
Okay.
It's not putter for the same reason that that both Rishon and Sheni are putter for the second.
Right.
Meaning that in the second, we say they take away his Chiyus, the Chiyus is departing against Kli, something you can be Chayev for.
Right.
Elamai, you have Shutvim mm-hmm. with regard to that.
Right.
On the first thing, you can't say he's Pader Mishum the Shutvus because it's not Iko Kol Nefesh. You can't say that. Right? All right, we'll leave. I guess we'll leave. Now, I guess.
Yeah,
Vasachas. I have to decide whether or not we'll go over Vasachas quickly. Are we convening, reconvening?
Tuesday and Thursday of the first week back for sure.
Yeah.
We'll be in discussions.
Okay. We'll be in discussion. Go to executive negotiations.
Shkoyach.
All right.